have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. I want to encourage you to make sure you read through your bulletin. Lots of things going on. New Friends Luncheon today, right after service. If you're a guest or have visited with us over the last month, we'd love to have you join us for lunch at the local restaurant. Buffet style, so you're not going to be there all afternoon and waiting. We're going to get there, get our grub on, and be able to have conversation and get to know one another, find out your story. I'd love to do that. And if you have questions about the church, we'd love to answer those for you. Luke 19, next Sunday, Dr. Wood will be with us. So please come, bring friends. I think it's going to be a great, great service. We took some time last Sunday, and we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit, and it was kind of like, I said, if the Holy Spirit had a job description, what would it be? That's kind of the approach that we took, and this was something that Jesus told the disciples, and the thing is this, if Jesus tells the disciples something, and says, guys, listen, you need to understand this, how many know there's a very good chance that's something that we need to understand? But if he told them, he's telling us, we still live in the church age. This is not something that was, that we are now outside of that looking back going, what can we pick and choose from history? But the church age is still happening. We are still living in the New Testament age of the church, okay? And Jesus says, take it as serious. John 15, 26 through 27 says this, but I will send you an advocate, the Spirit of truth, who will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. You must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Now, I think that this scripture hits on two things that I think are critically, critically important for the life of every believer that I think Jesus focused on after his resurrection. And one is this, that you need the Holy Spirit. One, two, three, four. You need the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, at work in our lives. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We need the work of the Holy Spirit through us. We need God to be able to have the Holy Spirit whisper into our hearts, listen to the stirrings, be obedient, step out in faith. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of what we talked about. The job description of the Spirit. I'm going to give them to you very quickly because we're going to build on that for this week. Number one, the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. His purpose is to point to Jesus in every single way. Okay? You with me? Number two, the Holy Spirit convicts us. He desires us to wake up to sin so that we see Jesus clearly. Sin blurs our vision. Sin blinds us. Sin helps us to not see things clearly. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of things so that we might have the blinders come off so that we see Jesus clearly. Three, the Holy Spirit regenerates us or renews us. He sets us free from the spirit of sin. I am a new person in Christ. How many of you are thankful for that today? You're not who you used to be. You don't have to be who you were a week ago or a day ago or an hour ago or 15 minutes ago. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you are a new creature in Christ. That's what he says. The next, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and he helps us. He dwells within you. That song we sang, I am not alone. It's not. Listen, the builder of a computer is not in the computer moving things around and punching buttons, okay? So when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is who comes and dwells within us. That's what he's there. So he helps us in the journey. The Holy Spirit seals the believers that God, we talked a little bit about this because a lot of people will take that idea of being sealed as a believer and they transfer it over into once saved, always saved theology. And I'm just going to be very, if that is what you've been taught, I'm very sorry. It is not good theology. That is bad theology. That is not scripture. When it says that God seals the believer, what it means is that God has put a deposit of the Holy Spirit in us. That's salvation. When I accept Jesus, I accept the Holy Spirit within me. And so that Spirit is at work. God will never walk away from us, but you can walk away from him. Y'all with me? He can give us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit rather to help us stay in the right standing with him as we listen and as we allow it to shape us and to mold us. So that's a great thing. Next one is the Holy Spirit guides us. We're called to live in the Spirit. And so we need to be sensitive to the stirrings of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to them. The next one is the Holy Spirit prompts us to worship. Godly worship flows out of the inner man in spirit and in truth. And when we stop worshiping, we start running dry. Worship, like prayer, is meant to be verbal. There's power in the spoken word. And that's why, you know, when we have times of worship, it's not just about sitting there, you know, express. I'm not saying you got to do a Jericho march. I'm not saying. I've seen that. We had a little lady here one time. I don't remember sister's name, but I couldn't have beat her in a foot race. I know that. Because also we're in worship service, and also she comes flying down the aisle, and she was like, it's like she was in church NASCAR. Every loop she did, she went a little faster. She was wearing a little covering. That thing was acting like a spoiler, like a Superman cape. She said, wow. And she came around this corner one time, and she clipped the end of this pew. And I thought, oh, Lord, we're going to have a wipeout. And but God spared her. She did all right. Now, I'm not saying that's what everyone has to do, but I'm saying when you come to the understanding that you are worshiping your Savior who knows you, loves you, has a plan for you, makes a way for you, there ought to be some expression in that. Amen. Do you know what I mean? If you're married and that's your expression to your spouse, I mean, oh, hey, okay. You know, I talk with my son. My son's Chase. He's not up here, so I can talk about him. I say he's a soundologist. Because he doesn't really use words. Now, once he gets comfortable with you, he'll talk your ear off. But a lot of times, he says, Bud, how you doing this morning? He grunts. He grunts at everything. You want some more? I'm like, hey, how about words? How about English? How about, that's how I function. That's how I go. And I'm like, Chase, how are you going to ever find a wife? So you're a soundologist. He said, Express it. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. He doesn't give us power to not send us out. He gives us strength to do the work of the Lord. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand and apply God's Word. You know, Pastor Chris was just telling me this morning in class that he had everybody go through and pick scriptures, and they talked about how it was relevant. What can we learn from that scripture right then in the moment? And then he switched the table on them, and he had the students finding scriptures, and they were saying, this is what this could mean, and this is how we could apply it. That's what the Holy Spirit helps us do. It helps us take the Word of God because it's living and it's breathing and it's wide and it's deep. And that's why you can read a verse and get something from it. And then a week later, go back to the same verse and read it and get something totally different. Because it's amazing. There is no book like this. It's an amazing thing. And he helps the scriptures to come to life. And the last thing was the Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. And that it was the same Spirit that is in us is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Listen to me. You walk around, you walk around with power within. And I don't know if we fully understand what really is inside of us. And so he comes and he tells us that one, we need the Holy Spirit. That's the job description of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is this, and this is how we closed last week, is you've got to make room for the Holy Spirit. Things can get so routine in our life. We could just get up in the morning, go to work, come home, you know, eat a microwave meal, watch a little TV, go to bed, get up the next day, do the same thing over again. And life can just be so much of a rhythm. So life can be so much of just you're hung and doing the same thing over and over and over. And you know what? So can our faith. So can our faith. We've got to make room for the Holy Spirit. Things can't become routine or cold or just systematic. We all need reviving. We all need the work in the Holy Spirit. We all can't live in the past. We need the Holy Spirit and give Him room in our lives today, in this moment, right here and right now. We need the Holy Spirit. Another thing that he said, one, you need the Holy Spirit. The second thing was this. He said, we're to go, we're to be witnesses. What the scripture said was, you're going to testify of me and then go. And that's what we want to talk about today. That's what I want to take a few minutes, because Jesus, when he was getting ready to go in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, this is what he says. Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Everybody say, go. And make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he tells us to go. Mark 16, 15 through 20. And then he told them, go. Everybody say go.
Go.
Into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And I love that. These miraculous signs. You want to know why we don't see always the miraculous signs that they used to see? Because people don't go like they used to go. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Who are those that believe? Those that are going. And they will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. This is the word. There are people, again, who will take a statement of scripture and try to build a whole theology. Y'all come up in here with a snake. I'm crushing its head, and then I'm probably going to crush yours. All right. In the love of Jesus, of course. All right. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety. If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Then the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them. He was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And I love this. Then, and the disciples went everywhere and preached. You know what they did? They went. They goed. They goed. I don't know. Is that a word? What do you think, Bob? Is that a word? They goad. They goad. It's official. You can use it in Scrabble. They go. They went. They did what Jesus told them to do. And I love this. And the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Where did they go? Everywhere. There's no age limit. Look around. There's no age limit. You're not too old. You're not too young. All of us are called to go. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus brought us to. And the thing is this, He has given us the Holy Spirit now to go. And I want to show you why. And this is our text. This is, I love this. Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. And he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road that Jesus was going to pass that way. And Jesus came by, and he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I want to be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be the guest, I love this, of a notorious sinner. And they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give away half my wealth to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Can I tell you, that's the gospel? Jesus making his way through on the journey, just crowds all around him. He was always surrounded by crowds. And this man, Zacchaeus, tax collector, man who had gotten rich off of other people's money and who wanted to see Jesus, but he wasn't able to because he was a man of short stature, meaning he couldn't see over the crowd. You see, there were obstacles. There were obstacles that kept him from it. And you know what? The world always has obstacles. Those of you who have friends who aren't saved, you know what I'm talking about. You say, oh, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Oh, that's my only day off. Hey, why don't you come to Bible study? Why don't you come to a small group? Oh, I would, but Dancing with the Stars is on. And that's my jam. Okay. You ever notice that there's obstacles. There's always obstacles. There's always something. There's always a reason. There's always an excuse. He couldn't see over the crowd. And these obstacles kept him from getting to Jesus. And so he went ahead of the moving crowd. He climbed up a tree so that he could see. And when the crowd came by, I love this. Zacchaeus didn't call out. He didn't throw something at Jesus to try to get his attention. Nothing. He's up in the tree. He's just watching. All he wanted to do was check it out. I just want to see him. I've heard. I've been in things. I've heard about this man, and I just want to see him. But Jesus sees him. And Jesus goes to him, and Jesus calls him by name, and then he goes to his house. You see, the crowd was an obstacle that day. Now, I don't think we can blame people for wanting to be around Jesus. Don't we? I would want to be around Jesus. I don't think we can blame them because you never knew what was going to happen. You could see a blind man healed. You could see a leper cleansed. You could see a dead man come to life. You could see disciples take loaves and fish and feed 5,000 men plus wives and children. You could see something you've never seen before. Man, this is awesome. This is better than better than movies. I don't know. Man, this is incredible. This is great. You could watch a demoniac be delivered. If you've never seen anything like that, my goodness, I tell you what, you'll pay attention. You just never knew what you were going to see with Jesus. See, being in the crowd was a cool thing. And so if you are following Christ, that's not a bad thing, right? Disciples were in the crowd that day. I think they were there to watch and learn how Jesus moved, how he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, how he handled the crowds and handled the people. They helped with crowd control. They were part of the crowd that was following Jesus. And that's good, isn't it? Now, I don't want to give you the idea that following Jesus is a bad thing, but I do want to say this. It's not the end thing. It's not the end thing. And we see that in what he taught at the end of his life. Now, initially, in the very beginning, we're all called to follow him. Look at your neighbor and say, follow him. All right? We're going to work through some scriptures here. And just watch all the calls, okay? Mark 1:16-18. Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 17, what's it say? Come, follow me, Jesus said. And I will make you fishers of men. And so they at once left their nets and followed him. Mark 1:19-20. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired men and what? They followed him. Mark 2:14, as he walked along, he saw Levi, which we know is, thank you, sir. That we know is, Levi was Matthew. And the son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth, follow me, he said, and be my disciple. Jesus said to him, so Levi got up and what? Followed him. Matthew 4:19-20, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Matthew 16:24, when Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and what? Follow me. Mark 10:21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go sell all your possessions. Give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come. Follow me. Last one, John 1:36-37. Jesus walked by, and John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. And when John's two disciples heard this, what did they do? They followed Jesus. It's where we start. It's what we need to do. We need to be people who are willing to follow Jesus. We need to be people who are willing to go with him. We're called to follow him. It's not a bad thing. It's just not the final thing. We're called to follow him to know his heart. We're called to follow him to know how he moves. We're called to follow him so that we can see how he loves people. And then when you follow Jesus, you just never know what you're going to see. You might see the blind to see. You might see the leper cleansed. You might see a dead man come back to life. You might see the demoniac set free or someone who was lost found. But here's the thing. That's the crowd. This is the way the crowd thinks. Don't lose your spot. Don't fall behind. You need to fight and stay close in the crowd so you can see because you don't want to miss anything. How many of you have a parking spot out there? It's just kind of your spot. How many of you have a seat in here? It's just kind of your spot. And I can tell you, when someone says, hey, was so-and-so at church? You know what I do? I take this picture right here. And I say, from the platform, when I say, where does so-and-so? Where there? Oh, they sit about three quarters of the way back on the left. Because people are creatures of habit. We come in and we have certain places that we sit. When I first came here, all the elders and the deacons, they all sat together in a lump. And I just said, guys, that's no good. You gotta spread out. I see you move. You're catching up. I said, you gotta spread out. So they started spreading out. And it was so funny, man. Our deacons meetings, they were like, I don't know anybody now. I sat in my group and I knew my group. And I'm going, isn't that a shame we're meeting people? You know? And it's, the whole thing is, guys, we are called to go. The crowd has a spirit about it. And it's not that it's a bad thing, but it's not the final thing. I realized the crowd in the crowd, there were those who were committed, and I realized that there were those who were just going along to watch and to see. I get that, but my struggle this morning is this, that the very crowd that followed Jesus was the very crowd that kept Zacchaeus from getting to him. Luke 19:3, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the what? The crowd. He had some obstacles, but the world always does. The world has seen the same abuses that we've seen. The world can turn on the TV late at night and find out if you'll send someone $100, they'll send you miracle bread that you eat and you're guaranteed to be healed for a $100 donation. They've seen the same nonsense. They maybe have experienced church hurt from when they were young. They may be skeptical of the church. They may have a church hurt. They may have a past that they're ashamed of, that they think, you know, if I go to church and whatnot, I've just been some places, I've done some things, and I'm just going to go in and I'm going to be judged. Because church can be known more for what it hates than what it loves. They can look in judgmental because they feel they're going to be judged, and they think, well, they're all fake. You ever had someone tell you that? Oh, church people are all fake. Act all holy. Yeah. World has obstacles. I'm successful. Why do I need Jesus? That's another one. I'm a good person. That's a great one. I'm a good person. I give to nonprofits. I serve. I try to be kind to my fellow man. Why do I need? I'm okay. The world will always have some obstacles, but Luke says that he couldn't see over the crowd. See, Zacchaeus wasn't trying to see the followers, he was trying to see Jesus, and it was the followers that blocked his view. They didn't look up and say, oh, look at this guy. You know, they wrote a song about him. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I think that was original there. Is that Tupac? Who was that? Probably. See this little guy who was a notorious sinner. Everyone knew he was a sinner. Here's a sinner trying to see Jesus, and what does the crowd do? Oh my goodness, it's Zacchaeus, you come take my spot. Zacchaeus, you can park where I park. Zacchaeus, you can sit where I sit. Zacchaeus, come on, let me usher you to the front so that you can meet Jesus. Praise God, a notorious sinner wants to see Jesus. That's what the crowd did, right? They kept him from seeing Jesus, and they later identified him as a notorious sinner. And here's the thing. So Jesus, seeing that he had run ahead, climbed a tree, goes over to him and calls him by name. I love the fact that Jesus knows his name by heart. Jesus knows your name by heart today. Jesus calls him and says, I want to go to your house today. And the same crowd that followed Jesus rejoiced and said, yay, we're so happy for Zacchaeus. It's not what they said. He quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house. Now Zacchaeus had great excitement and great joy. That's what the scripture says. But the people were displeased. He'd gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. And they grumbled. See, the world will always have obstacles for coming to Christ, but the church shouldn't be one of them. The crowd shouldn't be one of them. It was the crowd, it was the religious people who didn't make a way, who were upset with Jesus that he went to the home of Zacchaeus. And we know the story, we read it. Zacchaeus had a God moment. Luke 19:8 through 10, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I've given half my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I've cheated anybody on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And then Jesus tells us again what his purpose was, to seek and save those who were lost. Now think about this. Think about this. While Jesus was with the disciples, did you ever hear of them doing many miracles? So I was writing this, as the disciples were following Jesus, did the disciples do a lot of miracles? And I'm kind of reading through and I'm kind of going through. And you know what? When the disciples were with Jesus, they watched Jesus do the miracles. Now, they handed out the bread, they helped, they did things. But the primary guy was Jesus. When they were following, it was very little. When the disciples followed Jesus, they watched him work. When Jesus sent them out, they did the work. And then you hear back what they were doing. You see, Mark 6:6-13 says, then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. And then he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out. They were going two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals. What a gracious guy. But not to take a change of clothes. He says, wherever you what? Go. Stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you, listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned these people to their fate. So the disciples went out telling everyone they met to repent of their sin and to turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. In Luke chapter 10, he does the same thing, except he sends 72 disciples out in pairs of two. And they come back having experienced the power and the presence of God. Luke 10:17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Listen, we are called to follow, to learn how to walk with him, to learn how to handle people, to learn how to move in the Spirit, to be healed and restored and strengthened by the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We're called to follow Jesus. It's not a bad thing. It's just not the final thing. After the resurrection, Jesus didn't talk much about follow. He said, go. Well, I was here with you, follow me. Learn, grow, get in a Sunday school, get in a small group. When I was here with you, watch what I do. Watch how I handle people who come and create conflict, who come and attack you. Watch how I handle people who talk behind your back. Watch how I handle things that seem impossible to man, but they're not impossible to God. Watch how I do that. But then there's going to come a day, guys, there's going to come a day, church, that I'm going to go and I'm going to send someone to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to be endued with power and you're going to be able to go. And you know what you're going to be able to do? Everything that I've done. If you go. You want power? Go. You want to see miracles in your life? You want to see miracles around you? You want to be a part of God doing something amazing? Go. Find someone up a tree that couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowds that followed him and put some time into them. Share your life with them and show them Jesus, and you'll be able to say the Son, salvation has come to this home today. Jesus didn't come to build a crowd, to surround himself with people who would just follow. He wanted people that he could send, people who would go. You see, we're not fully mature when we only follow. We're fully mature when we go. This morning, I was meeting with Stephanie about her little testimony. And she said something in there that I just thought, oh my gosh, it's so brilliant. And I was very honest about stealing it from her. I said, you're going to hear that today. She says, I won't even claim it as mine. I said, no, it's yours. But I'm using it. I said, you know, salt is that way. Salt in a shaker is relatively worthless. It doesn't really do anything. Salt doesn't impact other salt. It's just in the shaker. But when you mix it, when you put it on something, when you get it out there, then it flavors. Because that's what salt does. It accentuates the flavor. That's what Jesus always intended for us. We're the salt of the earth. He doesn't say, hey, listen, now I'm not saying don't come to church. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is let's be the church. Let's come on Sunday. Let's come together and let's have times of prayer. Let's have times of worship. Let's have times of teaching. Because we need to corporately do all that. But we also need to understand that we're not called to just do this. This is good, but it's not the only thing. It's not the final thing. We come in and be filled up, but then we're to go and we're to pour out. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. In the beginning, Jesus says, come and follow me. But at the end, it was go, teach, and baptize. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, if we fail to go, we just stay part of the crowd that watches, that wants to be close enough, but can exclude the very people that is trying to reach Jesus. Let's be goers. Let's be goers. Let's walk and have our hearts be sensitive. Let's go as we go to our work and our neighborhoods and at grocery stores. And listen, I've had spiritual conversations in some of the craziest places. Be a goer and watch what God will do. See, I have loved ones. I said this Wednesday. I have loved ones that I don't want to have to climb a tree to see Jesus. And so I want to make sure that I'm not making somebody else climb a tree. I want my life to be a way maker. I want my life to be one that helps people get to Him, to go, to teach, and to baptize, and to lead them by the Holy Spirit. So go. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.